are all these sheep, and there's a shepherd, right? And they're walking along, and they come to this, like, fork. You know, there's like a dividing. It goes one way, or you can go to the right, or you can go to the left. And the shepherd says, "We're going to go left." And one of the sheep says, "Hey, you know what? I got a friend in another flock, and they went left once. And you know what? They really didn't like that path because there's some, like, some weird stuff down that road. You know, sometimes there's rocks, and I heard you had to go, like, into a deep, like, gorge between some mountains. And, yeah, man, that doesn't sound cool. And I'm a pretty smart sheep. I mean, I've been following you for a while, and I know how to think. I'm independent. You gave me a brain. And I think we should go right. I think we should take a vote on it. What do you think?" Can you even imagine that? A sheep doing that? But that's what we do. And we're supposed to be sheep. We're not supposed to be rebels. We're not goats. We're sheep. And he's the shepherd. And we're supposed to follow him and trust him. So that's like kind of what's been in my mind. And every time I think of that, I can just see this like little rebellious sheep being like, "Hey, I'm going to tell you what. You created me and it doesn't matter because I'm going to tell you I think I know better than you." I just can't even imagine like a sheep doing that, you know? So that's just like think about that when we like decide we don't like something or something is going away that we think isn't right or God's asking us to do something that's maybe uncomfortable for us. He's our shepherd. He's our creator, and he's got our best interest at heart. So let's follow him and trust him. Good morning, Jesus. We just love you, and we are here for you because we want to be with you. We want to be with you in unity. We want your presence, and we just love you, and we invite you to have your way in this service. Whatever you want, whatever you're after, whatever you want to do, that's what we want. Let me just say right now that we aren't going to let distractions come. We don't want distractions. And we don't want any rebellion. We don't want any fear. We just want you to be free and not the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. We love you.
Matthew 25, verse 31. "One day I'm going to stand before God. And I'm going to give an account for your soul. How are we going to get you from where you are to where God wants you to be? How? How are we going to do that? One step at a time. But here's the steps we need to take. If I ask you this question, in your life right now, is it where God wants it to be? Is it where you want it to be? Is it? Would you like it to be more like where God wants it to be? Okay. I'm going to make a suggestion. There is a word called discipleship, mentors. There's some of you in here that are ready to be mentors, and there's others in here of you that need to be mentored. Do you understand what I'm saying, what these words are? Does anybody not know what I'm talking about? God has a plan of how to get us from here to here. When we do that plan, it works. When we try A, B, C, anything but Christ, any other way, it doesn't work. Do you want your life to change? Would you like it to change in an accelerated fashion? Today, before you leave, come up here. Say, "Lord, that's what I want." Okay? Now, there's some of you that need to say, "Hey," and it doesn't mean you've arrived, but it's like you have some things. Whatever you've learned in God, you can give away. When I was in Bible college, I remember this pastor, who was one of our teachers. I can see him, but I can't think of his name. And I know approximately where his church was because it was over near our bagel shop, actually. But we didn't have the bagel shop then. But anyway, and I remember him saying, when you get up to preach or teach, he said, you're studying, you're going to study this much. You're going to read all these verses. You're going to pray. You're going to be this full. And he said, when you come to preach, you can only give out this much. Has anybody ever spoke about God and you realize there's so much more you want to say, but it's like God narrows us down when you're speaking? But what I'm saying is, if you made the decision to become part of what God's wanting to do, which is to help grow you, and part of your growth is to disciple others, whatever you're helping them with, you're going to get this much. You're going to get so much from God. And then you're just trying to put it with a little funnel. Trying to get, and they're only receiving. You're giving them this much, and they're only receiving about this much. Because just because they're going like this, doesn't mean anything. They have these little things at the store. You can get them, and you touch their head, and they go, okay. That doesn't mean anything. There's just movement. That doesn't even mean there's life. What I'm saying is, I want to see your life go so much further. And if we keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, we might as well check in to Pine Rest, because we're a little bit messed up in our head if we keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. God allows things to come in our life, but he puts us in a place to help us to go forward. And you're going to become like who you associate with. And God has people in this place that he wants to partner with to have some people be ministered to, be mentored, discipled by others. That is God's way. We're called Christian disciples for a reason. And if we say, well, I got saved and I come here and it's nice and warm and fuzzy, and I get to cry a little bit, and, you know, and, oh, I got my hug. But don't you want more? Don't you need more? Doesn't your marriage need more? Doesn't your personal time need more? Doesn't your mind, all those things that you have to go through, all those battles and stuff that you're going, don't you need more? Yeah. Let's let today be the day. Only, I don't know who that's for, but I'm just saying it. You're in Matthew 25. Let's start with verse 31. We're going to read to the end. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall Jesus sit upon the throne of his glory. Now watch what he says. And before him shall be gathered all nations. That means everyone on the planet who's ever been on the planet is going to be gathered before him. Do you hear what I'm saying? All nations are going to be gathered before him. And he, Jesus, shall separate them one, I think it says one from another. One from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. I know Janai was talking about the shepherd leading to the left, but, and that's okay. But he wasn't talking about on the right hand, left hand there. But I just, that stood out to me, okay? And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. I just want to be a sheep. Bah, bah, bah. I just want to be a sheep. Bah, bah, bah. I don't remember. I just want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a goat. No, no, no. I don't want to be a goat. There's a song, but I don't remember all the words, but we used to sing that with the kids, okay? I just want to be a sheep. This is where we get it. Jesus has every person who's ever been on the planet standing in front of him. He's sitting on the judgment throne. Do you get what I'm saying? Everybody's going to be judged. And now he divides the group. And he says, you're either a sheep or a goat. There's nothing else. You're one or the other. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. Who's on his right hand? Sheep. Come. Notice what he says. Come. He's always about relationship. Come. You blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, for I was a hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous, who was on his right hand, who's he talking to? But look what he calls them. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you, Jesus, drink? When saw we you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you, Jesus? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king, shall answer and say to them, verily, truly, I speak the truth. Of a truth I speak unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now some people through the centuries have got caught up and tried to go do all these works, looking at all these things that Jesus said, and said, this is what Christianity is all about. We got to go do all these works. And they get caught up doing soup kitchens and clothes pantries. Is that the right word? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I want you to get here is Jesus said there's two groups. He says, I'm bringing everybody in front of me, and now I'm going to divide them one by one. You're a sheep. You're a goat. You're a sheep. Over here, over here, over here, over here. Everybody on the planet. Now they're in two groups. And he says, you, on my right hand, come. You get to come. You're blessed of my Father. I'm going to call you the righteous. He says, you come. He says, because you did all these things. Now, let me give you a thought. Are they righteous because they did those things? No. So now I'm going to ask you a hard question. When did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? When did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? Because until you realize you deserve to go to hell, if you think, oh, I just pray and ask Jesus in my heart, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Oh, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to start living by whatever they say. I'm going to become part of their club. If that's what you're thinking, and you've never seen yourself deserving to go to hell, you can't get saved. Because to get saved, you have to first realize your condition. And admit it is true. I am a sinner. No matter how hard I try, I can't quit sinning. I can't straighten myself up. It's not from this point forward, I drew a line in the sand, now from this point forward, I'm going to live by these rules. And if I don't, oh, Jesus will just wink at it because I chose him. And I get all crying when I talk about Jesus. See, I got to be saved. I'm crying. I've had people say that. Remember a lady who used to transport nuns, and I did her tub. You know, I'm a secret agent for Jesus. He just uses tubs to get me in their life. So I go in there and I start talking to her and I ask her, so if you died, where would you go to heaven? I'd go. If you died, where would you go? Oh, I'd go to heaven. Why? Well, because I have given up my life to transport the nuns around and take them wherever they need to go. And she starts crying. And I said, ma'am, what about Jesus? What about, why did he die? What do you deserve? Why deserve to go to heaven? When somebody, when I talk to people, I get revelation. A lot of times God gives me revelation when you're talking and we go to have a meeting. And I ask a couple of questions, and then y'all start talking. Why did we get together? And then y'all start talking. And while you're talking, I say, dear Holy Spirit, help me to hear in the Spirit. And then while you're talking, it doesn't matter all the smoke screen, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter all the feelings. It doesn't matter all the stories. I'm hearing what the Holy Spirit is telling me about you and what you need to hear. And that's why when I go to talk, I cut right through and get right to the nerve. Okay? So when we were talking to somebody this week, and the person was talking, I was praying, dear Holy Spirit, what do you want me to hear? I want to hear in the Spirit. I want to hear what they need. I'm not looking to embarrass anybody, but if you could raise your hand, I'm not asking you to. I'm trying to help you get a picture here. If I said, was there a time that you realized you deserved to go to hell? See, I could raise my hand and say, yes, I did. Now, since then, as soon as I realized I deserved to go to hell, and it was like I came to a place of desperateness because there was nothing I could do to save myself. It was like, what can I do? There's nothing I could do. There's no magic prayer. There's no magic church or just joining a church or using the name of Jesus or waving the name of in the name of Jesus only or whatever or in the name of Jesus over it. It's like I realized I was on my way to hell. And then when I turned to Jesus, see, before that, I could hear about Jesus, but it didn't do anything for me. And there's a reason I was baptized by six different denominations. By the time I was 20, I was sincere. I went to church. I did what they told me. I was about Jesus. I wasn't into Mohammed or Confucius or some dog or cat or something. I was into Jesus. But it didn't do any good until I realized I was lost. And then when I realized I was lost and there was nothing I could do about it, it wasn't me straightening out. You want to see somebody straightened out? Go down to the funeral home down the road. You'll see them. They're straightened out. It wasn't me turning over a new leaf. I turned over so many new leaves, I had to rake my backyard. It's not turning over a new leaf. But when God got a hold of my heart, like we talked about in Sunday school, Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God revealed this unto him. God's got to reveal to somebody. That's why somebody's got to be born of the Spirit, born again. God's got to reveal it. And the way it happens is through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. That's why you'll come to church or get around Christians and they start talking and you start crying or you start trembling. Because it's not that they're a powerful orator. It's not that they've got some control over you. It's not they're putting a spell on you. It's because the Spirit of the living God is inside of them, taking what's being said and touching you. I have said to thousands of people, I said, is what I'm saying touching you? And I mean, I can see it all over them, and they're going, yeah. I said, did I physically touch you? No. I said, but something's touching you inside. Yeah. I said, you need what I'm talking about. Yeah. Now, that doesn't make them saved, because I have on my wall a little note from a customer. I can't remember her name, but it's right up there on my wall. And it said, in capital letters, she sent it to me. Keep up the good work, Harvey. The world needs you. And I wrote, because she was a customer of mine that I'd witnessed to on the phone. And I wrote on there, from an agnostic, that means somebody who doubts the existence of God, from an agnostic from England named so-and-so told this to me after I had witnessed furiously to them or heavily or whatever word you want to put on it. When somebody sees Jesus, when somebody first of all sees that they deserve to go to hell, what's going to happen is when they realize there's nothing they could do about it, now when you present Christ, they could believe on him. Before that, it's just he's a historical figure. They could use his name. They could come join a little glee club. They could get in the water. Nothing changes. Are you with me? Do you know what I don't want? It doesn't matter if I want it or not, but I don't want to be here in Matthew 25 when Jesus is dividing the group. Because I don't want to see people going over into the goat group. Let's read Matthew 25, verse 41. Remember what he said to verse 40? He said to the sheep, and the king shall answer and say to them, verily, of a truth, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. See, they were others-minded. You know what one sin that everybody on the planet is guilty of? Selfishness. Every one of us, outside of Christ, if we had our way, everything would be about us, everybody would serve us, and we'd run the world. Every one of us really would like that. We all think we're right. Why don't they just do what I say? You ever been talking to somebody on the phone, you know, like you got a problem with a company, and you call them, could you just do this? Weren't we dealing with that yesterday with on the phone about the square, the AT&T thing? It's like, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, let's go to verse 41. Then shall Jesus say unto them on the left hand. Who's on his left? So who's he talking to? The goats. Remember what he said to the sheep? He said, come. Look what he says to the goats. Depart from me, ye cursed. You people are cursed, he says. Depart from me into everlasting fire. He said that in parentheses, he says, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. He says, for I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? And I want you to notice what they say here. This is lost people. They say, and did not minister unto thee. Remember when I told you this is a training center for ministers? It's to train you how to minister the life of Christ to another person. Minister simply means to meet another's needs, whether it's give them a hug or straightening their hair, you know, whatever it is. It's ministering unto them. It's visiting them in prison. It's feeding them. It's clothing them. It's taking them around for a ride to the doctor, whatever. Loving them, allowing God, get this, please get this. Allowing God to live his life through you. Reuben, God says, would you loan me your life? Would you loan me your body for a minute? Because I want to pick that guy up over there. He needs a ride. I want to help that woman over there pick up those heavy things off the bottom of her grocery cart. I know you're in a hurry, but would you lay down your life for a minute so my life could be lived? Because I want to minister, and I have restricted myself. I don't have a physical body, so I've restricted myself to live through you. Let's read. Into verse 44. And did not minister unto thee. Then shall Jesus answer them, saying, of a truth I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not. But I was too busy. But it was out of my comfort zone. Let Harvey talk to him. I don't like to talk. And God's like, he can't talk to everybody. I know you think he can. You know, motor mouth. But it's like, I put them in your life. Inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Now, verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And the righteous unto life eternal. How long is heaven? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. How long is heaven? How long is everlasting life? Is that what it says? Life eternal. How long is life eternal? Forever. Never ends. Okay. What about hell? And it never ends. Please, would you get the words that he called it? And these shall go away. Next week, nobody will sit on the left side. And these... I can see a few start to move over. Lopsided church. Yeah. As Sue would say, am I in the picture or looking at the picture? It's like, dude. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Punishment. Did you ever get a spanking? Did you get one spanking? Like one whack? Two? Three? Seven? More? I got it till my mom was so tired she couldn't swing anymore. I would run as she held me, whipping me with that belt. I would run as fast. I don't know how we didn't have a circle on the floor. I would run. My dad, you didn't have a chance to run. That was a temporary punishment. This says everlasting punishment. Now, I want you to think of the person who's hurt you the most, the person maybe you've not forgiven. Do you really want them to be punished eternally? Do you really want them to not ever have light again? Not ever have life again? Peace? How about moisture? Just moisture. You want them to be eternally dry? Would you want that for anybody? Now, there's a whole lot of things could be said. I could go, and I'd love to preach on all that, but I'm going to come back to what I felt like God told me to ask you. What is God doing in your life right now? What is God doing in your life right now? When you slow down, it's easier to hear and see what God wants than when you're just like, come on, come on, we're going, come on, come on. We're like demanding, harsh, not caring about others. It's like, do it my way. See, we're trying to run the world, but he's slowing us down. Just so you know, I am more guilty than anybody in this room of anything that you could probably confess, because I'm an extremist, and all of y'all thought you could run the world, but I was going to run you. You don't understand? Okay? So I'm just telling you that God's had to be slowing me down. That's why you keep seeing me go and lay down on the floor all the time, is just getting out of the way. Because if I don't go lay down, I have got an opinion on any and everything that is said or done or thought. And if there is a quiet moment, I can take care of that. So I have to go and lay down to get out of the way. How do we see change instead of just, I'm guilty again, now I'm going to try harder to do right? How do we see change? First, we have to admit we're guilty. Okay, when you admit you're guilty, okay, I'm giving you a little process here. You ought to write it down because this is something you're going to need every single day. Number one, you got to realize you're wrong. Number two, then you got to admit you're wrong. And if you really want change, admit it publicly to somebody else. Do you hear what I'm saying? Public confession brings public power. If you hide, you will never have the power and you will never get change. I promise you. Okay? I'm giving you a little process here that I have to practice all the time. Because in the old dictionaries, under the word sinner, it said, see Harvey. Because if you could do it wrong, I've done it. Or I still do it. Okay? Number one, you got to realize you're wrong. Number two, you got to admit you're wrong, and you need to do that publicly. And not in a generic sense. I'm wrong. What are you wrong about? Somebody I was talking to recently, a minister, and he called me and said, we'd like you to come to this meeting, and all these other ministers are coming. And I said, I'll pray about it. And he said, you don't need to pray about it. God said you need to be here. I said, I already know the answer is no, if you're telling me not to pray about it. You're telling me I'm supposed to be led by you instead of God? Not even hardly. It's not an option. He kept going on and on and on. I said, he was trying to go other places. I said, we're not going any other place. We're going to deal with this. I said, you're telling me not to pray about something. It is not, I said, you are not in the spirit. And I tried to be nice and whatever. This had happened a few times, but this time God said, you have to say something. I'm like, God, I don't want to say something. He's going, good. Then maybe I could talk this time. Because when you want to say something, he said, that's when I don't want you to say something, because you're going to straighten them out. You're going to have the wrong spirit. Am I being honest? Okay, so can we learn from this? Can I like be publicly wrong so that you could learn and get some growth here? Okay? Like, let's get real. Let's quit playing the game. Let's quit trying to be the Christian and end up in the left side. Okay? I have no righteousness outside of Christ. Then this week, I dare you, I'm sorry, I don't know how not to give you homework. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, I believe it's verse 3 where it says, "And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, which only comes through Christ, it's imputed or reckoned or applied to our account, when we humble and admit, I don't have it, I'm wrong, I'm guilty, and I deserve to be punished. Then God forgives and applies his righteousness to our account. We become righteous in the sight of God, but it's always through Jesus, the blood of Jesus. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Self-righteous people. They set up and they think they're righteous, and we've all done it, and we judge others. Okay? Now, let's get back to how we change. We got to realize we're wrong. Now we got to admit we're wrong, and we need to do that publicly to at least one other person. Admit it and name it. Don't generic, "I was wrong." I said to that minister, he goes, okay, I owe you an apology. Well, I got several calls or whatever, and I said, I got a call. He called me back. "Okay, Pastor Harvey, I owe you an apology." And God, Holy Spirit said, "Ask him, what for?" "Well, I owe you an apology." I said, "Yeah, but what for?" He said, "Well, I owe you an apology. Let's move on." I said, "What for? What are you apologizing for?" We never got past that. And I mean, over the next 5 or 6 phone calls, we never got past that, because God, the Holy Spirit said, "Don't go past that," because he's not dealing in truth. He's like, "I just don't want to deal with you. I don't want to deal with this problem. I've got an agenda I'm trying to do. I want to get to my agenda. So I'll tell you I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I didn't do anything." I said, "What did you do wrong?" "Well, I owe you an apology. I gave it to you. It's done." I go, "It's not done because you haven't admitted what you're doing." You see, even when people are trying to do what's right, they're living in deception because they're not speaking the whole truth. I'm sorry. I'm asking you a question. Do you want change? Or do you just want to feel good about yourself? I can't hear you. Okay. So you ready? Admit we're wrong. And now realize we're wrong, and then admit you're wrong publicly. And then realize, like what Patty said, you can't change. You can't quit. You can't do what's right. You don't have it within you outside of Jesus. Romans, I believe it's 7:18, says, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." You know how we say, "He's a good man"? There are no good men. Man's men. There's no good women. Where every one of us is a sinner. Do you know that there is nothing you wouldn't do if the circumstances weren't right? If it wasn't for Jesus? We're all capable of any sin. So when we look at somebody else and point at them and say, I would never do that. Have you ever done that? You find yourself later doing it. Realize you're wrong. Admit it publicly. Speak it out loud. It doesn't mean admit it publicly. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do it quietly. That's not public just because you stood up. Admit it publicly and specifically. Name it. What you want to get delivered from. What you want to get free from. Realize it has a hold on you. Realize you can't do anything about it. You can't change it. Now you turn to Jesus. He died for that sin. Forget all the rest of your sin. That sin, he died for. He paid for it in full. "Jesus, I'm so sorry." "What for?" "Oh, you know, I'm just saying I'm sorry." "No, what for?" for this sin, Jesus. This sin nailed you. This sin stuck that spear in your side. This sin caused the people to wag their heads and make fun of you and mock you. This sin caused that crown of thorns shoved in your head. This sin caused you to be stripped naked in front of all the soldiers as they gathered around you and put the cloak over your face and beat you and said, oh, you can prophesy? Well, bam! Who hit you? This sin of mine did that. Jesus, I am so sorry. And he's like, and you're like, and he's like, lifted your little face. He's like, kissing you. Because he said, I did that for you. Because I didn't want you to get, I wanted to deliver you. I wanted to Jesus you. So bring it to Jesus. Realize Jesus died. His death, burial, and resurrection is what takes care of that. That's the power to deliver you. You got to bring it to the cross. You can't do a, I'm sorry. You can't do a, here's my apology. What for? I apologize. Isn't that enough? I said the word. Why couldn't he say more? Because of pride. Bring it to the cross and realize Jesus got up from the dead, did he not? I'm sorry. Did Jesus get up from the dead physically? Okay. Now, if he got up from the dead physically, you know anybody else that did that? Could we have lunch together today with them? Okay. What I wanted to know is, if he got up from the dead, then what is it that we've got that's too big for him? But my husband! Oh, that must be bigger than death. But my bills! That must be bigger than death. But dealing with Harvey! That must be bigger than death. Well, there are some things. No, but you see what I'm saying? Seriously. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution. Death, burial, resurrection. Admit his ability. He got it from the dead. What couldn't he do? And then number five. Choose to depend on Jesus. Jesus, I'm depending on you. And then what he does is he picks you up and he carries you from that point. Until after a while you squirm down and try going your own way again. But that's what he does. Is that not what he does? Every time. It's the same thing. And we fail so much, you would think the repeated pattern, we'd get it. Because we have to do that every day. So what's God doing in your life right now? What is he showing or revealing to you? When you're reading your Bible, what's he showing to you? What's he talking to you about? You see, what he's been talking to me about? Two things. One is what he went through coming to this planet. See, I went to Uganda and Kenya. And though I loved the people there and all that, I was a foreigner. Their whole lifestyle, their whole way of thinking, their whole way of living, their squatting over a hole in the floor to go to the bathroom. It's like, you know, no toilet paper. It just messed with me. Eating some days and don't eat other days, and you don't know when those days are going to be. That's not how I live. I like to eat, if anybody didn't know. Okay? I was watching a Marshall Dillon last night, or this morning. No, it must have been last night. And he goes, and Marshall Dillon says to Chester, he says, would you like to get something to eat? And he said, I think those are the best words in the English language. Let's get something to eat, you know. And I thought, man after my own heart, that's it, man. I like to eat. Nothing against the people in Africa But they're a whole different life than me. Their whole way, I'm not used to people walking around carrying guns. I mean, you know, when I was down in Texas, they did. But up here, you know, most of America, I mean, even down there, they concealed them. But over there, they're carrying them around. You're going to go get something to eat, and there's armed soldiers. And they just stop you for no reason when you're driving down the road. And just a whole different way of living. And Jesus left his home, and he came to a foreign land. Now, I want you to think about it. Here's Jesus, God. His ways are not our ways, are they? Our ways aren't his ways. We're trying to get to be like his ways. Who could he confide in? Don't you have somebody you can confide in? Who could he confide in? Nobody could get what he was saying. Pew, pew, pew. He's talking about whoever among you is going to be the greatest, let him be the servant of all. And they're like, well, Jesus, who's going to get to sit by your right hand when we get in glory? It's like, what? Aren't y'all getting what I'm saying? What, Jesus? Who could he confide in? There's a whole lot of things. He's open and listens, but we rejected him. We didn't value him. We didn't listen to him. And he's showing me that. But he's showing me something else. Jonah 2:8 is a verse that says, they that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercies. And what that means is, if you hold on to an empty lie, you forsake the mercy of God in your life. You forsake mercies in your life because you're holding on to a lie, and God can't bless a lie. He can only bless the truth. It's like when somebody's in self-pity. Are you listening? If you're in self-pity and you come to me, I can't feel sorry for you because self-pity is a spiritual lie. You're already feeling sorry for yourself. You don't need a gang of us doing it. When you're done feeling sorry for yourself, you want the truth, I can get you out of self-pity. And then I can have compassion on you. But I can't feel sorry for you when you're in self-pity. Do you understand? It's a lying spirit that you're believing. Nobody loves me. Everybody's against me. Nothing ever goes right. That's what they normally say. It's always extreme. And it's a lie that you're believing, and you forsake your own mercy. Somebody's there to hug you, and they're repulsed by you. They can't allow the love of God to flow through you because they're so repulsed by that spirit that you're living in, that you're agreeing with. Are you listening to me? So what God brought to my mind, because I wrote in my Bible next to that verse, a very sad verse in Scripture. And then God lately has been saying, Harvey, what's some other sad verses in Scripture? And we read two of them in Matthew 25, verses 41 and 45, I believe it is, 46, where it says, they were turned into hell. He said, depart from me. How about a verse, John 6:66, where he says, from that day many went back and walked no more with Jesus. These were disciples of Jesus. But when he said hard things, kind of like when I say hard things and ask you questions and mess with you, and then you're like, don't want to hear that anymore. Let's try to go somewhere else. And Jesus said, you think that's hard? Is what I said hard? And they go, yeah. And so they left him. And what's really sad, and he turned to the 12, and he said, will you also go away? But what's really sad is the verse right before that, verse 66, where it says, and they walked no more with Jesus. There wasn't like an alternative. You could go walk with Moses, or you could go walk with God the Father, or you could go walk with the Holy Spirit. Once you walk no more with Jesus, you walk no more with God. And that means you entered the group of the left. Are you with me? What's God doing in your life? What's He showing and revealing to you, like in Scripture? What's He working on? I'm going to end by saying this. Two things. One, God, I want my life to change, and I needed to start doing something different. Well, one of the things that we needed to do different is we need to start following God's pattern of what the Bible says. That's why we've been belaboring church in the Sunday school, because God wants it to look like He wants it to look, not us to try to get Him to come bless what we're doing. That's why He keeps slowing us down and saying, what does it say? Are we doing this? Is it in my life? Not just do I have a mental, I can give an outline, but am I living this? Because if we want those results, we have to put in those same ingredients. Does that make sense? Because you see, when I stand before God, give an account, I'm going to give an account of your life. But I can only help. God's not going to, where you've messed up, but you didn't listen or I couldn't help you. You didn't allow me to help you in an area. Let's say you got a bad marriage and you don't allow Sue and I to help you in that marriage. Nope, I've got it fine. Or your finances are messed up. You won't let us talk to you. Guess what? When we get to heaven, God's not going to say, Harvey, that's your fault. He's going to say, no. He's going to say, it's not your fault. He said, because they wouldn't listen. They didn't allow you in. Do you understand? But I'm going to give an account. I'm going to be standing there when you stand before God. I want to do it with joy. I want to present you as those on the right. I want your life to be blessed. I want your life to be full and overflowing. I want you to enter into what He's created you to be. I want you to be like the army and be all you can be, except for be better than that. You know what I mean? But I want you to be, I want everything for you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be victorious. And it doesn't happen by hit and miss. It doesn't happen when, if you come, you think what we're talking about or presenting is smorgasbord. Does that make sense? You hear what I'm saying? The second thing is, that goes along with that, is maybe you need a mentor, because everybody does. So some of you maybe need to come and say, God, I'll be a mentor. God, I will disciple. I don't know how, but I'm willing to enter into that. Or I know how, but I'm willing to let you do what you want anyway. But there's others that need to say, hey, I need to be discipled. I need to start doing it God's way. Okay, I've grown. I've gotten this far. But how do I do it God's way? And God is going to team you up with somebody. And you're going to call them and you're going to have a relationship and they're going to encourage you and they're going to pray with you and they're going to carry you inside of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Folks, I don't want this to be, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I appreciate every church in America or on the planet that names the name of Christ. But I want this church to line up with this. I want you and I to be a family, a Christian family. I want us to do things God's way. And I see it different than the way a lot of other people see it. But I get it from here because I told them, I don't care. I just want what you want. And so I laid it all down and I think I got it from here. And I just wanted this. But it takes all of us cooperating because I can't do your part. I can want it for you. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not saying you're doing something wrong. I'm just speaking to you that God has more for us than what we have right now. Do you want that?